Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." You know, brothers and sisters, we have to so oftentimes examine ourselves. We could stand before God and we could stand before the people of our nation. Man, we're blessed people, man. We've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. This thing has been given over here to us. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, as we read on here a little bit, you know, I thank God for the mind of Christ. But you know, the scriptures say there's really no new thing under the sun. I mean, we go into the scriptures here and we read Brother Paul's writings. He was talking about mysteries and revelation. I thank God that there is, the Bible teaches that the light will get brighter towards the end time. I thank God for great men of God like Brother George Pike that gave their life to get into being a steward of the mysteries of God. I thank God for them for bringing revelational truths and pouring their heart out to us and doing it. But if we get puffed up in it, the Bible says if we have not charity, we have all revelation. Even if we give our body to be burned and we have not charity, it said it profiteth nothing. If we understand all the mysteries and have not charity, it's nothing, brothers and sisters. And we want the love of God in our lives. But as we read this, brothers and sisters, and if we could just separate, if we could just pull ourselves away from our own lives for a moment, we get so intertwined within our life, within our world, within our business, within our marriages, within our children, within everything. We get so intertwined in all of these things that sometimes we need to pull away and really examine what is happening in my life. Speaking of the ministry, the Bible said it's like a man that runneth and beateth at the air, accomplishes nothing. I remember one day an employer, I was working in the oil field over in California as a mechanic and different things for this oil field company. And the owner of the company came over one day just asking questions what was going on during that day. And I said, you know, I worked hard today. And I truly did. And he knew I was a hard worker. He never had to reprove me for taking advantage of him on his time clock or not giving a day's work for a day's pay. He never had that problem with me. But he was speaking and there was others present and different things, and man, I said, I worked hard today. Well, what did you get done? He said, you know, a man could go out there, and he pointed out right outside his office door. I've shared this probably with you before. But he said, you see that 6x6 post out there in the ground? He said, you know, a man go over there and put his shoulder down against that thing, and he could push, and he could push, and he could push all day long. And he truly, at the end of the day, could say, man, I worked hard today, and I wore out. But did he get anything done? He could go home with a sense of thought in his mind that he's wore out. He's physically wore his body out, but he got nothing done. You see, this is the way I examine my life sometimes. And I find myself reproving myself as I'm speaking to you right now. I could look over my day today. And maybe I made a couple accomplishments, but not nowhere near what I should have. Brother Pike used to say at the end of the evenings, I'd see him, he'd look up and he'd say, there's the day star again setting. He goes, what have we done for God today? Man, I heard him say that so many times. I'd have to say, I probably heard him say that 50 times. Talking about in his presence, not talking about hearing it on a tape. I probably heard him say that 50 different times. And you say, what was it, repetitious? No. It was a man that was sincere, that he come down at the end of the day and he looked and he goes, there's another day star. He said, that thing's setting. That means what this day is over and what we've done this day for the Lord is recorded in history. There's no changing that. There's no changing the fact that this day's gone. There's no changing the fact of what we've done. We can't back this day up and do it over again. This day's recorded in history of whatever we've done. The deeds that we've done, if they're good or if they're bad, are recorded. And that's what the man was saying and reminding us of that. And we need to truly be reminded of those things on a continuous basis. The day's gone. The day's spent. And the scriptures have said the summer's ended. The harvest has been gathered. But has the soul been saved? We read here the words of a preacher. What profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? You see, brothers and sisters, man, the Bible says, is like a flower. He flowers for a while and then it withers away. Yeah, the flower's a beautiful thing when you see it pop up out there in the field. And the flower's a beautiful thing. You see it pop up and you look at it and say, man, isn't that a beautiful flower? You say, thank God for the flowers. You know, and we could look at man. We say, man, that's beautiful. Look at him. You know, look at his understanding. Look at his mind. Look at his possessions. Look at the things he's got. But what does it mean when it's all said and done? And like I say, if we would just back away and really look at this little moment, the Bible says, a vapor and a mist. And look at this little vexing life, full of vanity and vexation of the spirit. And this little life is just short. Here for a moment, and then it's gone. That's hard for young people to understand that. And I'm considered young. But it's hard for people to really understand that. When you're a kid, 5 years seem like forever. It seemed like forever between birthdays. It seems like you still got the smoke from the birthday candles in your nose, and they're putting it before you again. Say, wow, another birthday. Here's another one. But you know what? It's all vanity, all vexation of the spirit. It's here for a moment and it's gone. And if we could truly back away and we could look at the scope of what you call time. And even when we look in the scope of time, and time is temporal, but when we even look at our life in the scope of time, and we think of all the generations before, and we think if the Lord tarries at all the generations that would come after, what is our life? What is it? Go look at the history of this little hunk of clay called America. It's 200 and some odd years old. We could talk about the great presidents are gone. What do they got to remember them by? Well, they was the president of a great country. Some of them are more remembered than others. Some of them, you call their name, you probably wouldn't even know. Oh, that was a president. You know, I knew who Abraham was. I knew who George Washington was. But there's probably some that wouldn't even recognize their name. What is that? What is it when it's all said and done? When we come down to the end of the trail, what is it? Would we live our life any different this day if we knew that this day was the day we would take our last breath? Would we have done today any differently? But brothers and sisters, if your life is like a vapor and a mist, that's like a breath. A vapor is just here for a moment. You see it go away. When you see these big smokestacks sticking up out of these big factories and the steam vapor goes up, it ain't around very long. Big puff, man, boy, it's making a big noise there. But it vapors away, not before too long. That's our lives. And what we do and what we accomplish in this life, naturally speaking, is all vanity. It ain't going to be here long. I've dealt with so many different kind of spirits in my life. I've had to deal with so many fleshly spirits, demon spirits. I've had to deal with lust and pride, prestige, had to deal with so many things and learn to understand what spirits are. And hopefully that it could make me a better minister, that I could recognize the shortcomings of humanity and the perplexities of human life by witnessing the things. I'm not teaching you to conquer fleshly exuberances and pride in those things in some kind of a blind closet, because I've had to deal with those things in my life and conquer those things. So I hope that I could direct and teach and help people. But when we look to the scriptures and the word of God, and we start considering the things of vanity. And you know, I can remember being a young Christian, and I went by a car lot, and they had this red Ford truck. Some of you could smile because you probably had no lust devil get on you one time. Some of you smile because you've been there. But I remember I saw this old Ford truck. It wasn't an old Ford truck, it was brand new at the time. I think this was somewhere about 1982. I just got saved not too long and was learning about prayer. I was living over in Oklahoma. Went to work over there in the oil field. Just took a job over there for a few months. Man, I wanted that truck. Man, I prayed. Oh, Lord, help me get that truck. Well, it didn't work out. Didn't happen. And I remember being a little distraught about it. And I was talking with a Christian friend that was of great help to me in my young, early years of Christianity. And he encouraged me and said some things. He said, Lord has a reason for all things. And you won't see it right now, but you will see it. Why? Well, it wasn't but about 3 months later, the rig I was working on shut down. And you know, in the early 80s there, I was making about 19 some dollars an hour working in the oil field. I did it for about 6 months, I guess, or maybe a year there. I don't know. That wasn't bad money. But when it shut down, you still need money. And it would have been a burden. You say, why do you say these things? Because I say, brothers and sisters, we need to come to a place in the mind of God that we follow and walk with Him. But I'm speaking not about the prayer or about maybe the letdown. I'm talking about the vanity. I saw a truck probably maybe in the last few days on the road just like that thing. It ain't so pretty no more. I don't think you would even beckon the throne of God for it. Oh, God, and I want this truck. It's like, Lord, get this thing out of my sight. Push it into the garbage can. But you see, what is the difference, brothers and sisters, of something that was shining and the chrome was bright and the rubber was deep and the engine was smooth, there wasn't no smoke coming out of the tailpipe and everything just looked so good. But then 25 years later, 30 years later, don't look so hot. It don't appeal to you none at all. You see, why? Because it was vanity then also. See, I could say some things that would sound so disrespectful right now. I could speak them in the mind of God, And they're not disrespectful in the mind of God. I remember Brother Pike talking about the woman and said, you know, she'll become an old used up dish rag someday. You know, when a woman is walking in her beauty, her physique, and her youth seems to be at the prime of her life. You know, a man lusts after that and loses soul. But if he could just back away just for a little bit, and he could get down through the portals of time, and he could come on and see that thing maybe, you know, 60 years later, and think, whoa, I was selling my birthright? That sounds disrespectful, doesn't it? I know it sounds so disrespectful. But you know, there's no difference comparing an automobile or a woman or a man with his strength and masculinity. So I could say about the young lady, but says, man, look at that boy. Man, look at them muscles, boy. He's strong. Man, he's healthy. Boy, he looks nice. Boy, I like his little curly there on his hair and everything. And she could just see him in a few years, that old hairline goes back. Got him a little shiny spot up there in the front. Boy, and that little six-pack, man, turned into a whole case and fell over his belt. Them jeans that he was wearing, boy, when he was looking so nice, man, he'd rip them out, boy, trying to get his old fat hide in him. He just don't look no good no more. You know, you might think, what are you trying to say? It's all vanity. It's all vanity. I heard Brother Pike say, you know, it's just a bag of bones, man, speaking about that old fleshly body. Just an old bag, sack of bones. You see, brothers and sisters, what is it that moves us? And what is our inspiration in this world? What is our inspiration? See, so many times our inspirations are on the vanities of this world. The things that move us, the things that thrill us, the things that excite us are vanity. They're temporal things. You see, even as I speak to you, I confess it's something I thought I had to have. And then all of a sudden, it didn't work out. But I mean, I've gained so many things, but they all become the same old thing. I can think of the numerous new automobiles I bought over the many years. You see, and we could, so oftentimes, I remember speaking to you and I'm saying, you know, we could change the way we think. There's things that could change the way we think in just a moment. I remember we just got to have something to eat. I mean, we've got to have it. I mean, there's just no pushing it away. I mean, give it to me, send them on, man, you know, here I am. But you know, I said if somebody could share with you and said, you know, there's strychnine in that cake right there, all of a sudden it don't look no good no more. Why? It's a state of mind. Why is it something, man, I got to have that, get out of my way, and you're pushing everybody out of the way, and you're going to get to the dessert table before anybody else does. But all of a sudden, if there's, you know, a strychnine in it, and I know this sounds ignorant to you, but what I'm saying is a state of mind. You ain't going to be pushing to get to the table. You're not going to do it. What am I saying? It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. You see, brothers and sisters, we live in a world and we get our eyes on the world. We get our eyes on the vanities of this world. We get our eyes on the prestige of this world. We get our eyes on the substances of this world. Let me read on just a little bit more. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where it rose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its own circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Eyes never full of seeing. Ears are never full of hearing. Appetites are never quenched and satisfied. He said, drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Eat of this. You see, they're speaking about the things of God, but the things of the world have no end to it. You think about it. If you could unhook a river from the delta or from the gulf that's hooked in going into the ocean, and you could unhook that, and you could record, and they do, science does this, they record the amount of acre feet per minute or per hour, whatever, of water running into an ocean or whatever it is on different rivers. But if you could actually unhook that thing and set some container to catch it all in, you'd be amazed of the multiplied numbers of gallons or acre feet of water that would run through some of the contributaries in our country. But then yet the ocean's never full. Why did this brother, this preacher, we say, why does he express these things in there? It never fills up. Because he's paralleling it to the vanity of man. There's never enough money. There's never enough women. There's never enough food. There's never enough of anything. It's all vanity. If we could come to wisdom or understanding in God, we would come to a place that we'd say, why do we even try to quench or satisfy this vanity life of perplexities and vexation of the spirit. If we could truly realize that it's all vanity, then we would probably deal with it differently. You'd say, well, Brother Ron, if it's all vanity and it's all vexation to the spirit, but then yet I look at your life and you have automobiles and you have homes and things like that, it sounds like you maybe need to listen to your own preaching. And I say, yea and amen. I'll be the first to receive that. If it's a reproof towards me, I'll receive it and say, thank you, Jesus. And I do. And I consider and I examine myself. I weigh out things. Brothers and sisters, there's times in the mind of Christ that we utilize the vanity world to win a soul. Your life is a vanity. It's a vexation to the spirit. Your first birth, your natural life, your mind, your world, everything about you is a vanity. But what we have to do is we take this thing and we bring it into subjection, into obedience to Christ Jesus, and we say, here I am, Lord, use me. Use this temporal vapor, mist, this vanity, this thing, and why it has strength, Almighty God, use it for the glory of your kingdom. Then we could take something that is temporal and we could utilize it to further the gospel of God. And if we have things that would be considered a vanity things, materialistic things, or worldly things of this world, if we are not utilizing them for the furtherance of the gospel, then it's not just a vanity, it's a curse. So we have to take and surrender everything to God. Everything. 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 Your strength, your breath, your life, everything. If you can't give it to God, it's nothing. If you can't give it all to Him, it's absolutely nothing. Amen? You see, brothers and sisters, there are some people that are striving for gain. You see, their life is given to gain. They want gain, they want more, and they're pressing and pushing for gain. There's other people that have come to places in life that they've already had the gains of this life. If we went on and read here on through Ecclesiastes, you'll find, matter of fact, right here within this same chapter, I believe, he was speaking that he had had an increase added to him greater than anybody of all Israel. We could talk about Solomon and all the gains, and he come to the same conclusion. What is it when it's all said and done, when it's all over? You know, when they put a man in a box, they kick dirt over it, got his name wrote on the stone. What does it matter at that point of time? If he had 50 homes or one tent. What does it matter at that particular time if he had $50 billion or he had not one cent when he crossed out? What is it? It's vanity and vexation to the spirit. The only thing that these things that we have now, brothers and sisters, the only advantage of the things that we have now are that we could utilize them for others. If we're selfish and greedy and we just utilize it for our own life, our own pleasures, and our own things, then it's a curse. When we look at other people and think, well, bless God, they could have if they would do what I've done. It don't work that way. We don't think that way. It's even like when I was in Africa, these people, they were given papers, they could not work. They said, you're not from this country, you're from another country of Africa. You're not from Kenya, you can't work here. You're a refugee, totally dependent on somebody else. They won't allow them to work. Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. You go quote that scripture and say, man, I'll work, I'll do anything. My baby's hungry. The government says you can't work. You're a refugee. You're not from our land. You can't be in town taking jobs of these other people. You can't do that. There's tribal tensions and tribal strife. We don't want you on our streets. You got to stay in this refugee camp. Churches and organizations from America coming in there with their food and different things and not nowhere near enough. When you see a little child, 8, 9, 10 years old, eating chicken feed, and you think that all of everything that this world's got to offer is vanity and vexation to the spirit. Brothers and sisters, let's separate ourselves from our mind. Let's separate ourselves from our world. Let's separate ourselves from our strength, from our health. Let's separate ourselves from our finance. Let's separate ourselves and look at it from the mind of God, from the mind of Christ, and we'll see things differently. You would see things totally different. I know people that are dealing with sickness and disease from youth. I could name some names and you'd know. He should have thought about that when he was 16, 17 years old, put a needle in his arm. Could have been me. The man that went off to a retreat, a business retreat, left his wife at home and thought, well, you know, hey, I'll go ahead and take this woman. Not even looking, thinking of eternity, but as she took her lipstick and wrote across his mirror, "Welcome to the world of AIDS." And the man had to go home and share with his wife and family. You see, he wasn't separating himself from this world and the vanities of this world. And look at the consequences for that. Or when the individual stands before God and thinking, you know what, my life, you know, was a vapor and a mist. It was here for a flash of a second. And here is all of eternity that is endless. Eternity's real. It's forever. And here I sold out all of my eternity for a snap, a vapor and a mist. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, when we think of this change, the moment, in the twinkling, a twinkle of the eye is pretty quick, isn't it? You see, brothers and sisters, we think natural, we think carnal, we think temporal, we think in vanity mind, vanity world, and we look at this world and we look at it and we judge it by man's mind and man's time. And you think, oh, I got time. You know, I might live to be 150. You know, I got time. It's all vanity. It's all vexation of the spirit. Your life, your world, your gains, your everything is a vexation to the Spirit of God. That's all it is. It's all a vexation. What we have is what we're accountable for. What we gain is what we're accountable for. If we have nothing, we're accountable for nothing. If we have something, we're accountable for something. If you would have had $50,000 in a Christian temple savings account because, praise God, we got wisdom, we're smart, we're going to put it away and we're going to build us a sanctuary, I would have spent it. I would have gave it away. You say, you'll never have nothing. I'll have everything. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, people look at my life and say, you're spendthrift, you just give and you give and you give and you need to give for yourself. Man, I'll tell you what, if you could look at the world I live in and the place that I partakers of, that I'm an ambassador for, you're over here in a poverty land. America is the wretched poverty, the poorest, the most inhumane thing of all over. I'm comparing it to my heavenly places. And I'm telling you what, America, with its gold and its rubies and its diamonds and its mansions, it don't have what I've got. I'm telling you what. You know, I came out of a world of aviation. You think, man, it was nice to have an airplane, get in, go over here and go over there. Let me tell you where I live at, the land that I'm from. I'm an ambassador here. I'm just here helping people out. But let me tell you, I think for a moment I'm there. Why take time to go out and get an airplane? Why take time to see if it's fueled up? Why take time? It's just like this, your thought and you're there. And then your thought and you're over here. And then your thought, it's over here. And I'm going to sell all that out. I'm going to sell that birthright out for the things I have in heavenly places. And I'm going to sell it out for the worldly lust and pleasures of this world that's here for a moment and gone. You see, we judge things wrong. We look at things wrong. I think it was one of the brethren was talking about, Brother George said, you know, being good looking is a curse. See, in the vanity world, people would say, man, I don't understand that. It's a curse to be ugly. It's a curse to be fat, ugly, and miserable. See, I could smile because I'm fat and ugly. See, I couldn't say them things if I was good looking and skinny. But he's made a statement of such. And see, we'd never understand that in a natural mind, a carnal mind. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, I could tell you this, that if you get into the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord, and then you'll see why a man would make that kind of a statement. Because people get dependent upon their physique, their beauty, their skill, their strength, their finances. They get dependent upon their talents and things, and they vex God. They grieve the Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, when you think of your life as a moment, just a snap of the fingers, let's don't vex God with that moment. How long does it take sometimes somebody to grieve you? You think, oh, I'm pretty long-suffering. Do you show that at the stoplight when the guy in front of you waits a half of a second after the light turns green? It don't take long to vex you. But then, yeah, what about God? What about your life? If it's just like that, when you think of eternity, man, your life is nothing. When you take and even stretch out time of man and you go 6,000 years and you say, if we say, well, if you live to be 60, if you take that to 6,000, what is that? Well, look at it in the time of man, 1%. If you live to be 60, 1% of even man's time. What is your life? It said generations before and generations after. What is it? So you make big, deep footprints in the sand of time. You make great big gains and stuff, but they're forgot about you. The flowers barely wither away from your gravesite and it done forgot about you. It's all vanity. There's one that won't forget about you. There's one that'll seal you in. There's one that'll keep you and hold you through all of eternity and love you and take care of you. Everything else is vanity. It doesn't matter how many people we move in this world and how many people think we're okay and how many people, it's all vanity. When we depend on the gains of this world and we build our friendships from the gains that we have from the world, it's all temporal. It's all vanity. It's all vexation to the spirit. Sad to say, worldly people, when you've got worldly gains, they're worldly and they love you and they befriend you. But when you lose all of your gains and all of it's stripped away and taken away, then all of a sudden they don't befriend you no more. They don't have nothing to do with you. That's not the kind of friends we want, brothers and sisters. We want friends, like the Bible said, closer than a brother. I know I haven't said much this evening, brothers and sisters, and I say that with a reservation because I hope that maybe God's used this vessel for a moment to maybe just make you analyze and look at things differently than maybe the way we look. I preach like this because I've seen through other eyes. I've seen through eyes that are never satisfied, and then I've seen through the eyes of Christ that can find a satisfaction. Your ears are never full, as it said there, but then yet I've heard from a spirit world that brings a satisfaction. There's a travail, there's a warfare between these minds, between these worlds, between the vanities of this world, pulling on the fleshly appetites of man. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. I could speak very directly to you as a man because I am a man. And I could understand your failures and shortcomings because I've made them. I could understand the perplexities of life because I walk in it. But brothers and sisters, we got to come to a place and learn that there is a way to come out of this world and truly come out of it. There is another world that we could live in and dwell in. And if you would learn to make that transition, there's a part of you in your flesh that is afraid to let go of the world that you control because you feel security in a world that you could control, in a world that you could understand. You feel more stable sometimes there. But to let go of that world and to go over into an invisible world that you can't see nor touch and depend and trust in that, that transition is a very difficult one. But it has to be made now, not after you take your last breath. There's got to be a transformation and learn to lean over to that world of faith. And that world of faith will bring a substance, brothers and sisters, and an evidence into the present time now. But you have to learn to walk in the invisible realms of Christ. And he'll bring some things visible. And the things that he brings that are visible in this life are what? A vexation of the spirit. It's temporal. That's why the things we do aren't looking for the worldly gains. We do the things, brothers and sisters, to please God and to sow things away in heavenly places, heavenly treasures. And he adds the increase on this side to make his word true, to show that there is a reward for all labors. And people without heavenly treasures are rewarded with earthly treasures. And again, we have to discern what these things are. But it's all vanity. Everything this world has is a vanity. This earth, the Bible said, abideth forever, but not in its present condition. The present condition of this earth is vanity and vexation of the spirit. It'll change. It'll be different. This life, this fleshly life, is vanity, vexation of the spirit. And it'll change in the moment, a twinkling of an eye, from something that's corruption to incorruption, something that's mortal to immortal. You see, then it leaves the vanity realms of vexing the spirit. And it's not no longer mortal flesh, it becomes spirit flesh. It's different. And this is what we are utilizing and doing. We're taking advantage, I'll say, to the full scope of this time, of this world, to make this transformation into the mind that isn't vanity and vexation of the spirit, into the mind of Christ. And we've got to make this transition over into that mind. And when you make the transition over in that mind, is the message that we ministered even Wednesday. That was a message that was ministered away from this mind of this world. It was a mind of the things of this world for the better of others. Then you've got the mind of the spirit world. Jesus didn't utilize his strength, his mind, his understanding, his power, his dominion, his throne for his betterment when he walked in this world. He didn't look for the pleasures. The Bible's recorded that he didn't even have a place to lay his head. He sacrificed. He could have established himself as a king. They mocked him when they put King of Kings over his head. They were mocking him, saying, "Oh, this is your king?" To the Jews, "This is your king?" They didn't recognize him as a king when he walked among men. He could have taken that place, but he didn't. He denied it. He took a life of sacrifice, a life of crucifixion, a life of suffering the wrong, a life of being persecuted. He chose that life. And you know what? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he asked us to walk that life of suffering with him. He asked us to walk and to be about the Father's business, do the same things that he's done, that we can be rewarded with the same life that he's got. Let's stand together. I hope you don't mind me just talking with you a little bit. Consider, brothers and sisters. Examine yourself. Consider. Look at your life. Look at your gains. What are they? I was going through some financial struggles, going through some things. There were things that were presented to me and offered to me when I was there that would have ended my financial struggles and problems. But I would have had to gone back into the world of vanity and use my abilities of the worldly things and deny a sacrificial life that Brother Pike was pointing the way and showing me by example of walking in. And he was taking and getting me out of a mind of a businessman and into the mind of a preacher. I had both minds when I came to Little Bethlehem. I had the mind of a businessman of carnality and vexation to the Spirit of God. And I had the mind of a preacher, very small, very young. I had enough of the mind of Christ to know that I needed a pastor, and I knew I needed direction and I needed counsel. And that's why I went there. So I'm not going to mock whatever measure I was in, because it was enough to bring me across the United States into a land where I knew nobody and I didn't know the preacher even. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is where I want you to go." So I thank God I had enough Christ's mind to do that. Amen. But as I was saying, I found that I had both of these minds and they were both alive. I was in a second heavenly perspective operating both worlds. And Brother Pike was very skilled in the spirit and knew exactly where I was at when I didn't know myself. And he was destroying and pulling one mind out of me and trying to get me to walk in another mind. As I say that there was opportunities that arose that could have took care of the financial complications that I could say that I put myself in. But it was still vanity and vexation to the spirit. I've learned some secrets. I've learned some things, brothers and sisters. I truly could say that I have come to some understanding and some revelation about some things. And my eyes are coming more and more and more open as time goes on. And I'm seeing and comprehending and understanding more and more. I could truly say that. I hope you can say the same thing. But I'm coming to understand some things about what success is, what prosperity is. And we'll never see it, brothers and sisters, in this world, ever. This world does not even have an inkling of an idea what prosperity is. They don't have an idea. This world is a vanity and a vexation of the spirit. This world right here is a shadow. And I could take and pull up a $500,000 car, and I could pull it up out here in the parking lot, and I bring you outside, and I tell you to stand with your back to the car and the sun back over there, and you're looking at the shadow on the ground, and to say, "Look at that." And you could look at it and you say, "Man, it's pretty slick looking or sleet looking." If the sun's just right, you might even get to see that it's aerodynamic. And you might even tell me what kind of car it is by looking at the shadow. But you looking at that shadow can't tell me. You could touch it, you could rub the shadow, and you could say, "Man, I understand what, man, a $500,000 car." You'll never understand a $500,000 car by looking at the shadow. You could touch the shadow. You could feel it. You could do whatever you want. But you ain't going to understand that $500,000 car by the shadow of it. And I'm telling you one thing, This world is a shadow. It's an allegory. It's a type. It's a vexation of the spirit world. But all that this world is a shadow, and it don't matter what you touch, what you eat, who you walk with, who you fellowship. You can go sit with the presidents. You can sit with the kings. You can go to the princes of England, and it's all just a shadow. It's nothing. You would find that if you got to fellowship and you could think, man, I'm one of the elite of America. Man, I got to go eat dinner with the president. I sat in the White House with him. It's a vexation. And he probably needs a toothpick just like everybody else, but he's just a vexation to the spirit. He's more accountable than you and I because of the position that he's in. But see, we get in these worldly minds because some sleaze bag, and they put her on TV set. And you know, and she walks with where the Bible says they with the mincing of their feet, and people just go all Google-eyed. Oh man, and they pick them up, and they're nothing but scum. And I, you know, you say, man, you're so disrespectful, Brother Rob. You don't have nothing good to say about nobody. It's all vexation of the spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. It's all vanity, and the people just go crazy over it. And you know, what are they? I mean, what do they have to offer to society? What do they have to offer to humanity? What do they have to challenge a young person in mind? What are these sleazy women in Hollywood telling your little children to do? Where are they encouraging them in anything good? You know, put a short dress on and get a stinking ugly dog and walk around with it and sleaze around and sleep with everybody and get drunk and drink and party. That's the only thing they got to say about them, ain't it? It's all vanity and vexation to the spirit. See, I say things purposely because we are guilty of walking in a vanity world with the prestige of this world, the pleasures of this world, the pride of this life, and all the vanities of this world are manipulating us in the way we think, what we do, where we walk, how we entreat people, how we do people. The Bible says you get this poor one that comes in, you make him take the back, and you bring the other one right up in the front. Boy, he said, God, have mercy on you. See, we think wrong. In the scriptures, it was the rich man that found himself in hell begging the poor beggar to come over and just put a little spit on his tongue as he was in torment dry. See, we need to take account of those things. Who is the blessed one in this world? In the mind of God. What's it say about the poor? What's it say about the rich? I could tell you one thing in this scriptures right here, the poor are the more blessed ones. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The Bible said they received Jesus gladly. I knew all this, that we are the Laodicean. We know we're not part of that, but we could say we're looking at it in this time. As we see the final moments of time, and we know that we've already gone beyond time in the spiritual realm, but I'm speaking about the timely order of dispensation of grace. And it says this Laodicean church is rich, it's miserable, it's naked. That's where we're at, and it's all vanity. And we need to start considering. Brothers and sisters, examine yourself. Don't listen to the preacher and think, oh man, you know, guy, he just got his idea. Examine yourself. Don't examine yourself to Brother Rob. Don't examine yourself by yourself. The Bible teaches very clearly when we examine, you know, everything by ourselves. Look at me, you know, I've got this, they got this, I got this, they got that. It says you're a fool. Don't do that. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Word. And brothers and sisters, this is what we're accountable to, this word right here. We're accountable to the Word of God. We're accountable to it. Don't get your eyes on the temporal vanities of this world because they'll destroy you and kill you. Get your eyes on Christ. Let's sing a song, Brother Ed. Just remember, the prestigious things of this world are temporal. You walk over here to town. You look at purchasing a home. You look into dates. And you say, this home is 75 years old. It's in bad shape. It don't look too well. It needs windows, doors. It needs a roof. It needs carpet. It needs tile. It needs new fixtures. It needs this. It needs that. But you know, one day, somebody gave a lot of time and finance and money and effort to build that home. But that's the way all flesh and all temporal things and all vanities go. They fade away. We could go over to Israel And we could find this wall there that's standing of the great temple that they built for God. And not even it's standing still this day. Why? Because it's all vanity. It's all vexation to the spirit. You may have a new home today. It'll all fall. It'll all crumble. It'll all go back to nothing. All the materials that man puts together, it'll all go to naught and go to nothing. All their technologies, all of their adhesives, all of their glues, all their fabrications, it all goes to nothing, goes to naught. Just remember that when you're looking at something that's beautiful and something that's young, it'll grow old and go to naught. When you're looking at something new and something that's shiny, it'll fade away and it'll rust. Don't sell your soul for the vain jinglings and the glory and the power of the things of the flesh and the strengths of it. Just remember, it's all temporal. And you think, but that's a long time away. That's 30 years from now. That's 40 years from now. It's 50 years from now. It's like a vapor. It's like a mist. Get out of the mind of man and get into the mind of Christ, and you'll see that this life is just a moment. It's quicker than the weaver's shuttle. It's pretty fast.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.